Hi.
Hello.
Welcome. I'm so excited to see your face, man.
Me too, you. It doesn't happen often enough these days.
I feel like we just need to go back to the good old days where we were on a podcast, or not podcast, on Zoom all day long. And then Kyle was telling us, are you guys really being productive talking about the same thing and going over these details? And we both were like, yeah, yeah,
yes,
we are.
Very necessary. We're calibrating our brains. We're creating the hive mind.
And we did it. We did. But now I think we're missing that. So we need to get back to the good old days.
I know. There's a lot of things I miss about the early days and being smaller. As exciting as it is to have the growth and to grow our team and be bigger, I just miss the intimacy of it just being the three of us sometimes.
Yeah, I know. But there's some beautiful, big things happening in the industry. And I think it's because the growth that we've been able to do with Surrogacy Is and the outreach and being able to help as many women as we physically possibly can understand why surrogacy is so beautiful. And then now the outcome is these intended parents. I know I stepped into this role of surrogacy because I couldn't imagine not being a parent, and being able to give that to somebody else was such a huge thing. And seeing those sweet, amazing parents who had struggled so hard to get to this place of needing a surrogate and finally getting to hold their baby. I mean, that's what it's all about. And so now us as an agency, and now we're entering into this world of educating intended parents and really understanding that there's not a lot of resources out there for them. I am so excited that we had the opportunity to do that. And this next guest that we're talking with and her foundation, I'm like, sky's the limit, really. I mean, how do we get involved? How do we be a part of this to make change in this industry that we know needs it? So crazy.
And just, I think it's been really beautiful that there have been so many celebrities who have shared their surrogacy journey and really, you know, shined a light on surrogacy to the mainstream in a lot of ways. But I also feel like there's been a little bit of a negative impact from that, because people think, oh, it's a celebrity thing. But there are so many people that come to surrogacy for all kinds of reasons. And the celebrities that do surrogacy is just such a small, tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the people who build their families this way. And it's very accessible to somebody who's very wealthy, but to somebody who is not, and somebody who just is middle class and wanting to start a family and struggled with infertility or cancer diagnosis or whatever it is that they weren't able to build their family in a traditional way, surrogacy is not super accessible for most people. And so I think it's really awesome that Alexandra and Zach are sharing the gift that they had, that they want to spread it to others. And so I'm super excited to introduce her on this podcast today and learn more about Gift of Surrogacy Foundation and how we can get involved and really just spread awareness and support more families to have access to the gift of surrogacy. It's super cool.
What a great name too. So good. I'm so excited. Cannot wait to be able to share this and have the opportunity to really do our part in this mission that we're set out for. So it's good.
Yay. Okay. So our guest with us today is Alexandra French. Alexandra and her husband, Zach, started the Gift of Surrogacy Foundation in 2022 after having a beautiful baby girl via surrogacy. Alexandra was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2019 and was unable to safely carry a second child after her treatment. So through the loving and financial support of their family, they were able to add to their family through a surrogate pregnancy. They realized that most people are not able to achieve the family they desire through surrogacy because of its high cost and a lack of available financial assistance. So that's what led to the creation of Gift of Surrogacy Foundation. What a ride for you, Alexandra, and beautiful that you guys have chosen to find a way to give back to others who are, have experienced what you have experienced. Is there anything as far as your story that you want to add to that background, and as far as your introduction of who you are and where you came from, apart even from your surrogacy journey?
Yeah. I mean, you definitely touched on all that, you know, the highlights of everything of why we created Gift of Surrogacy Foundation. But one thing I definitely want to highlight is how fortunate I was that my oncologists had recommended going ahead and doing an egg retrieval prior to starting chemo. I know a lot of doctors, it's not a part of their like repertoire. They just don't talk about it. And it's not because they don't want to. It's just not top of mind for them. My doctor was on the younger side. He was like, okay, Monday you're going for your MRI. Tuesday you're going for your CAT scan. Wednesday you're going to get your egg retrieved. And I was like, okay. Just it was never something that was talked about. It was never discussed. It was just, it was on my daily schedule what he told me to do. Mm-hmm. And looking back, like I could not be more grateful for him because we would not have our daughter otherwise.
Yeah.
And so it just something that like anytime I talk to, you know, young cancer patients, I'm like, please talk to your doctor about getting your eggs retrieved. Like whatever it is, like you just, you may be fortunate to be able to carry a child afterwards, but you at least want to have that option.
Mm-hmm. And because our fertility as women is so sensitive anyway. And I think a lot of women, whether you have treatment for cancer or other things, like thinking about freezing our eggs and preserving our fertility is so important.
And it's so easy for that to be missed, I think, really, right? And you're in the moment, you're dealing with this fear that just has been brought to you. You might not think about, hey, I need to go get my eggs frozen. And having a doctor be there to just guide you through that, I'm so grateful because I have heard where they didn't necessarily. And how sad that is after the fact that they then come to that realization of like, shoot, it's too late.
Yeah, it's just another thing that like cancer takes from people. Like yeah. You're thinking about, like, okay, how am I going to live? How am I going to get through this? And then, you know, a couple years down the line, you're like, okay, I'm ready to have my family. And they're like, sorry, you can't. And then you're just like, that's just another gut punch that you're now faced with. Yeah. And how do you come back from that again?
You know, I have a very dear friend who at 31 was diagnosed with uterine cancer, and she was going and preparing for dealing with that and getting her uterus removed and going to start treatment. And I was really grateful at the time I was working for a fertility doctor, and I was already like nagging all of my friends to freeze their eggs. So when that happened, I knew that there was a program through HRC where there was a discount for cancer patients to freeze and preserve their eggs. And so I connected her with them, and she did that. And she was so grateful because that wasn't something that occurred to her either. And now she still has a future where she can maybe have babies. She's not ready to do that yet, but she doesn't have a uterus. She'll need a surrogate. I'm like, I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
I've got this handle to know all the people.
Yeah. Well, and you know, there's so many resources for gay parents and, you know, which is wonderful. Like Men Having Babies and all these organizations that help gay men with surrogacy. But I think as far as cancer survivors, there seem to be a lot less resources. So with Gift of Surrogacy Foundation being brand new, just started in 2022, there was such a need for that organization. So I'm really grateful that you used your experience to create access for other people. That's very cool.
Yeah. And that was, you know, that was the first thing that we realized when we started going through the surrogacy journey was when we first met at our agency, they were naming off different organizations to go talk to for support, but wasn't mentioning anything about grants. And I thought that was so interesting because I came home that day and I did like a deep dive, and I was like, okay, the few organizations that might be out there would get maybe $10,000. I'm like, how does that really help people?
Yeah.
I was like, it's great, but does that give people more stress and anxiety that are they ever going to use this money to be able to raise the rest? And so she was like, babe, I figured it out. He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, I know how I want to give back. He's like, yeah, what are you talking about? I was like, I want to raise a bunch of money and be able to help someone have a family via surrogacy. At the time, I mean, we were just, you know, we haven't even signed up with our agency at that point. At the time, it was like, oh, we'll just, you know, raise some money and we'll give it to someone. And then we're like, okay, we'll go through the motions. We'll figure out what the journey looks like. We'll, you know, experience the emotions, feel the feels. And then when our daughter was about 6 months old, I was like, okay, I'm ready now. Like, I've seen like this miracle of surrogacy, you know, like through the full timing. And now I'm just ready to give back. And so I like, called my agency. I was like, okay, ready to give you guys some money now. And she's like, oh, we can't take it. I was like, what do you mean? She was like, well, we're a for-profit. Like, you're going to have to give it to another organization that can then disperse it. And I was like, oh, well, I don't want to do that. Like, so that's how Gift of Surrogacy was born. We had no intention of it being like a full-blown 501c3.
So tell us how that works. Tell us how, what does that process look like for somebody that's entering into this, potentially being somebody that could qualify for this grant?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've kind of been like rolling with it as we've been going. It's been a complete learning curve. You know, first we created our, you know, 501c3, and then we're like, okay, now we've got our status. We can go ahead and start planning our, we do a surrogacy soiree, not a gala. And it's kind of like, there's nothing traditional about surrogacy. So we don't want your traditional boring gala. And so it's more of like a fun party vibe is what, you know, what we're going for. And we're going to raise a lot of money for it and raise a lot of awareness for surrogacy while doing it. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't really know that many people who had been through surrogacy before I was in it. And now I get calls all the time from people being like, hey, do you mind talking to this person? You're the only one who someone recommended that's gone through it. I was like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The more we can talk about surrogacy, the more common it's going to become. Like, mm-hmm. I think surrogacy is kind of what IVF was like 10 years ago. You know, 10 years ago, no one talked about IVF. Now it's like, wish me luck. I'm going in, you know, like, let me see fives. So it's just, the more we talk about it, the better it's going to be for everyone involved. Yeah. So the way that our process works, this first go around for our grant application, you did have to be a resident of Georgia. We kind of wanted to start local. We created a grant advisory committee that was comprised of four RA doctors, a clinical psychologist, a agency lawyer, as well as three CPAs. And we were kind of looking at it as a whole. You had to be medically necessary, but then of course you had to have the financial qualifications for it. And the financial part was actually the most interesting because no one's necessarily turned to surrogacy just because they want to. Everyone's got their own trauma surrounding it from the medical side. But from the financial side, it was, is someone overly qualified for the grant? Or is it, do they need too much money? Because what, you know, we're giving away $100,000, which is a lot of money to be giving away to someone. But we're also not covering, you know, everything. Like, we don't want, we can't be this black hole because we want to be able to help so many more families down the line. So we need to make sure that whoever got a grant is going to be able to cover the miscellaneous, cover, you know, whether it's be insurance or bed rest or lost wages. We just couldn't be responsible for any of the unknowns. So what did that like ideal person look like? And so that initially was something we never really thought about.
That is really interesting. So how do you, do they have to show proof that they have these funds available, or can they get the remaining funds through financing, or what are the criteria? What's the threshold, I guess?
So there's no exactly threshold. It's more of like a financial worksheet that our CPAs put together. So we're looking at the equity that you might have in your home, the, you know, your savings account, your stocks, whatever it is. Are you getting investment from family? Does your employer cover some of it? They're also looking at how much money have you already spent on your fertility journey? Mm-hmm. We're very happy to take people that have already taken, gotten grants from other people. Like, everyone's working towards the same goal. And if someone's been through, you know, whether it's cancer or they've been through multiple miscarriages, they've been through multiple rounds of IVF, they're going to have incurred medical debt along the way. Mm-hmm. And that's totally okay. We want to see that on the financial worksheet and be like, okay, they can cover this miscellaneous item. So for us, that's the most important.
Yeah. What is that? What does miscellaneous include? So is that IVF or the IVF cycle, medical screening?
So you, in order to be able to apply, you actually have to already have your embryos made.
Okay.
You have to have three euploid embryos. Okay. We don't want to take on that. Again, we're trying to eliminate the stress and the anxiety from people of being like, oh my gosh, I got to go get my embryos made. I got to go do this and apply for your grant. And then all of a sudden they didn't get enough embryos. They didn't get enough eggs retrieved. So we want them to come to us at a certain point, and then we can be like, okay, you're ready to go on to the next phase. Because there are so many foundations out there that can help you with the embryo creation. Mm-hmm. And so we want to kind of take that to the next level.
We're definitely going to want to pick your brain for that information about what those other organizations are that are stepping stones along the path to getting to the point where you're ready for applying for the gift of surrogacy grant.
Yeah, absolutely. So from like the cancer side, when I was going through it, people had mentioned to me the Livestrong Foundation, but then there's a couple of other ones as well. There's Maggie's Dream, Chick Mission. So those are a few on the cancer. And then I know from, and then there's Jewish Fertility Foundation, Baby Quest. So there's other ones that kind of help you get to that embryo side.
Okay.
Awesome.
And when you're choosing, what does that look like? Is it one person per year? What is that
process? So the first year was one person. We didn't know how long it was going to take us to raise the money that we were going to be able to give away. So we were just hoping, you know, we'd be able to grant someone down the line. And we were blown away that we were able to raise over $100,000 at our very first event. Wow. And so we're like, oh my gosh, okay, now we can give away this grant. We got to assemble this committee and figure out what this application is going to actually look like. This year we just finished our surrogacy soiree. We're hoping we can give away another one or two grants this year. So it's, the amount of money we raise is just going to determine how many grants we can give away.
How special, man. And I mean, thankfully there are people out there like yourself who step into this role of wanting to make a difference. And it's so powerful. I'm just grateful that you exist and that you've leaned into this so that there are those places that you can lean to if you need assistance and wanting to grow your family.
Yeah, we really just feel like, I mean, there truly is no greater gift than the gift of family. And that's what we're here for. We just want to be able to help someone who's been through their trauma or the trials and tribulations of getting to this point of saying, we don't want them to like throw in the towel and be like, okay, well, my only option is surrogacy. I can't afford it. I am now out. I guess I just won't have a family. So we want to be able to help them and create that family that they've always dreamed about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's so hard, I bet, when you go through the applications, because there's so many people that are impacted by infertility for medical reasons that I can't imagine how hard that process is for you guys to select. Is it a lottery or how?
No, it's kind of like a ranking system based on like the financial, the medical. I'm really glad that I'm not the one making the decisions because, I was reading all these personal statements. And I was like, I want to give everyone the money. And that was the hardest part, was having to call the people and say, I'm sorry. Like, I wanted to do it so badly, but we're giving it to someone else. That's the hard part about only giving away, a couple grants a year.
Well, hopefully you're going to get to a place now, because you're brand new. This is a baby organization. And as you guys grow, I imagine you're going to be able to have such a greater impact as people learn about the gift of surrogacy and people learn about surrogacy. I think surrogacy has been in the news a lot in the early part of this year, and mostly for negative reasons, the Pope's comments, and now this latest news out of Alabama with the Supreme Court. Have you been following that at all?
It is so heartbreaking. I mean, I know people that are in Alabama and they're like, should I move my embryos out of the state? Like, how do you move forward from that? I just feel like we're going backwards in time right now. It's just, it's heartbreaking, honestly.
It's really sad that it's already impacted, like IVF clinics are pausing treatment and not going to be able to help people.
Like, we thought, Roe v. Wade being over, like, we thought that was, devastating. This just takes it to a whole new level now. And you're like, what other states are going to follow in this?
Yeah. And they will, others will. And
our surrogate lived in Alabama.
Oh, really?
So our journey would not be able to take place anymore now. Like, and so I think about that. I'm like, our daughter would not be here if this was happening now.
Wow.
She wouldn't, but your IVF clinic, was your IVF clinic in Alabama, or did she have to do local monitoring there?
She had local monitoring in Alabama. And then our daughter was born in Alabama.
Anybody's going to be able to get local monitoring even in Alabama. That is something I didn't even think about.
Yeah.
And I think we're just starting to like unravel and see what the ripple effects are going to be. Who else is going to follow? Who's going to pull out and see?
And how is that going to raise the costs for intended parents of a process that's already so expensive?
Yeah.
Gosh, that's sad. Let's talk about more positive.
Yeah, it just kind of like gave me like a little bit of goosebumps. I'm like, oh, like, it's so
It's okay. I think it's so important that we continue talking about it. And I think it's so valid what the people were feeling that lost their embryos in that incident. Like, that is devastating. You know how expensive it is and how time consuming and how precious your embryos are. So nobody wants to minimize the value of the embryos. It's just calling the embryo a child is taking it a step too far.
Yeah.
It's a potential for a child.
Exactly. I mean, I saw a great article this morning. It was talking about like You know, their baby was frozen for, their embryo was frozen for 27 years. And they're like, if my baby was frozen for 27 years, my baby wouldn't be a baby. A baby does not eat an embryo. Like a baby, something living and breathing can't be frozen for that long. An embryo can.
No, I'm sure. I think I saw a poster because that happened last year, right? That baby that was born from that 27-year-old embryo. I think I remember seeing that in the news when it happened. That's so amazing. Must have been a donated embryo or something.
Maybe, I'm not sure.
If you think about it, because I can't imagine having your own embryo frozen for 27 years. And then at what point would you have had to freeze it?
Yeah,
then,
potentially, right? Yeah, you'd probably believe it.
And then how old are you? I don't know. That's a whole other mystery to unravel. But that probably wouldn't happen either, because if that embryo was considered a child, would they have been able to donate that embryo to another family and let another? I don't know. You know, who knows? It raises so many questions. Which leads me to my next question, I think, involving the costs. As far as I know, $100,000 is a lot of money. I think, what are you seeing is the typical all-in cost for families who are going through surrogacy these days? If you're going through an agency, and if you are going through the Gift of Surrogacy Foundation, do you need to use an agency, or can you do an independent journey, or does that make a difference at all?
So we are requiring you to go through an agency if you get one of our grants.
And why is that? I would love to hear your reasoning.
It helps make the process smoother, to kind of take out a lot of the unknowns. We want everyone to make sure that they're fully represented as well.
Yeah.
We're putting so much hope and faith into it. We need to make sure that it's going to get through the finish line. And I think having that agency there representing, you know, the GC and the IPs, it's going to make it possible then.
And there's so many unknowns, right, with this process. We want the parent and the surrogate to really just focus on that relationship building and the growth of this pregnancy versus trying to jump through the hoops of getting a birth order and making sure life insurance is in place. So I think there's so many variables with the agency. Sunshine and I are huge advocates of not going independent, but mostly because we see how many wrong turns that can be made that then would affect the relationship and the outcome of the entire journey, which is, it's just not worth it.
And it's just making sure, you know, the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. You know, we're not an agency. That is not what we're trying to do. I don't want to sit there and answer the questions that I don't know the answers to, and I don't want to have to guess. And I want to be able to go to the professionals who know what they're doing and answer all those questions and guide them in the right way possible.
Yeah. Do you have any requirements for the agencies that they choose to use, or just that they use an agency?
That they use an agency. I mean, we'll have to approve it, but yeah, they just have to go through an agency.
Okay. There are so many agencies too. There's like, I don't even remember last time I was looking, there was hundreds and hundreds. There's maybe thousands now. I don't know. There's so many.
I'm curious what the number of agencies are out there now.
There's a lot.
There's so many different sizes too.
So. Yeah. And so many different sizes of agencies too. There can be a really small agency that just does a handful of journeys a year. And then there are larger agencies that do dozens or hundreds. So it's all over the map as far as that's concerned. But I do think that's really awesome that you require an agency, and that grant allows them to help afford that cost of that as well.
Do you give your intended parents that are requesting this grant any advice in when they're looking for an agency, what they should be looking for? Because they all are so different, and some agencies will really follow those guidelines to protect that journey, and maybe some skirt around some of the requirements and the suggestions. Is there anything that you give as far as advice to these intended parents when they're looking for their agency?
So, you know, we've only kind of, you know, we're so new still. A lot of the people that applied for our grant were already talking to agencies. And because it was kind of local to Georgia, or initially, we knew all of the agencies that they were already talking to. And so we were like, okay, they're already vetted. They already follow the SEEDS guidelines, the ASR guidelines. So I already knew, like, I had a good sense of, like, faith and trust to them already. But as we expand, you know, we might have to set some clear expectations of who those agencies may look like. And that's kind of like, as we grow, it's just this learning curve that we're constantly having to expand upon.
So at this point, I understand you're expanded outside of Georgia. What are the locations that you're open to now? Is it all across the U.S.? Are there international parents?
We will know more of that in the next month or two.
Okay.
We just, you know, like the story just finished last week. We were like, okay, we've raised enough money. Now we just got to get the application out there. We'll kind of tweak what those guidelines might look like.
But you're considering expanding it outside of Georgia at this point.
We are, yes.
Okay. Well, that's really exciting. You know, Georgia, I'm here in Georgia and it's a small state. I know there are a handful of agencies I'm familiar with here, and that's really exciting because there's so many parents all over the US, and I know that's going to really open it up and make it so much harder for you guys to go through that application
process. It was so hard, you know, just looking at the applications just for the people in Georgia. And then, oh my God, we had so many questions from people being like, well, I went through, you know, an IVF clinic that was in Georgia, but now I live in Florida, or my embryos are stored in Georgia. I live in New York. And I'm like, oh, technically you're not a resident though. Like, yeah. So it was kind of like that, you know, like gray area. I'm like, sorry, you don't qualify this year, but maybe next year.
Yeah. And there's so many things, I'm sure, extra red tape that you guys have to jump through to open it up too. So thanks for taking on that challenge and doing it. I think it's incredible.
And we welcome all advice and want to hear from everyone. We, you know, especially the people in the industry, like, we want to know what you guys are seeing on a day-to-day basis. Like, what are the IPs looking for? What are the GCs asking? How can we make our money go the furthest? And how can we have the most impact on people? That's what we're here for. We want to just be able to help as many families as possible.
I know we started our focus when we started Surrogacy Is, was really focused on supporting and educating surrogates and teaching women who maybe would be good surrogates, but maybe didn't even know anything about it, about what the process is, so that they could consider helping families through surrogacy. And so now that we've expanded into an agency, we're realizing what a gap of support and knowledge and education there is for intended parents too. So that's a hole that needs filling as well, that we're really excited and eager to provide resources for intended parents, because it's a scary journey, I can only imagine. When you decided to build your family, to continue growing your family through surrogacy, what were some of those big challenges that you faced? And if you met somebody now who's entering that, what would be your initial first level advice for them?
So when we first started going through the process, I only knew one person who'd been through it before, and I didn't even know what questions to start asking them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was just doing a deep dive on the internet. I think that's where a lot of people really begin. I relied a lot on my agency asking them, you know, all the questions that I had. Things like I didn't understand was insurance, like, what's included, what's not included. Then you have like your base price, and then it's like, okay, like you're paying for all, like, you know, obviously you're paying all the medical bills and everything, but at what point, like, what's being paid to the IVF clinics, what's being paid for, like, towards the hospitals, but then like all the shots and everything leading up to it, being like, okay, we gotta go, you know, they gotta call this prescription for the progesterone shot, we need to get the credit card to pay for this, like, to. And I was like, okay, like, fine, you know, like, so just knowing like the breakdown of that. And then the uncertainty of like, are we going to be able to, who's going to be in the hospital room? Who's going to, are we going to even have our own room in the hospital? Where are we going to stay? That, until I was laying the process, like, that never even crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just like building the bridge as you cross it.
Mm-hmm. Like, of course, you know, in our contract we had, you know, who could be in the room, sure. But I didn't know, I was like, are we going to be able to sleep in the hospital? Like, or am I just going to have to like check into the hotel next door and then walk over every time I wanted to see the baby? Luckily for us, like, the hospital we were at was super, you know, surrogacy friendly. And we almost had like interconnecting rooms, and it was the most expensive hotel room I've ever paid for in my entire life, worth every single penny.
Yeah. I think a lot of parents too, like, don't know until the day of, because the hospitals are so unclear, and they're always like, well, we'll have to find out. We'll have to wait and see. It depends on how many babies are being born that day, if we'll have space for you. And I remember when I delivered my last surrogate baby, no, my second one, we were at Cedars-Sinai in LA, and that's supposed to be such a great surrogacy friendly hospital, but it was not, like, they didn't have a place for my intended parents. They weren't prepared for us. Like, there was a, family waiting room that they cleared out for them and let them stay in there. And they brought a pull out chair couch bed thing. And so they stayed in there and they didn't have their own bathroom. And it was just, I feel like hospitals have a long ways to go in that, but it's expensive too.
Yeah.
To stay at the hospital. Well,
and finding an agency that knows to prepare the parents for that is so necessary too, right? And knowing you don't know. I remember when I did my first surrogacy journey, I always joke and say, you don't know what you don't know until you're in it. And they're like, okay, the next time I'm going to ask this type of question to understand, how does this process work with this agency? And I think that's really where this comes from for the parents is they don't know to ask these types of questions, and having that agency that's going to guide you with a birth plan and have already pre-prepared conversations with the birth clerk at the hospital, understanding their protocol is so necessary. But you don't think about that until you're in it and you're like, man, where are the people that I needed to make sure that this goes smoothly so I could just enjoy doing that skin to skin with my sweet little baby that I've so desired, you know, through these 9 months and then on.
Well, I just think, you know, there's every journey is completely different. And there's so many different, you know, hands in the process, so many different people. So while, you know, like the main people like in the journey know exactly what's going on, all everyone else is somewhat involved. They may not be as clear about it. So while like, you know, let's still at the hospital, like while the doctor may be like, of course, like I've delivered a ton of surrogate babies. Like I know what's going on. The nurse may be assisting. This might be the first one. And she's not sure who to address. Are they addressing with, or are they addressing the intended parents? Like who's making this? So I think, again, it just, there's so much knowledge that needs to be put out there for everyone.
Yeah. It does. It absolutely does.
And that's our mission, is to share all this too, just to get an audience to pay attention and realize it, when courts are making decisions like this Alabama decision, and when the Pope's making statements like he made about surrogacy, people are hearing those loud things. But I think we need to be louder about sharing the beauty of surrogacy, and it's definitely something that surrogates and intended parents come to in a very compassionate relationship. It's not this exploitative transactional thing that people think it is. And so I think even having conversations like this one are really important and go a long way for people to learn. Like you and your family are beautiful, and your daughter is in your life because of surrogacy. And that's beautiful. I don't know how anybody could feel negatively about that.
I think a lot of people just, you know, they think about the movies and that's it. Or people think about the celebrities and that's it. But yeah, they're not thinking about how it affects people on a day-to-day basis and the amount of families that have been, you know, created because of this. And like you said, the beautifulness that comes out of it. And when you're in the moment, like that's all you're thinking about, you know, what is my journey going to look like? What is my, you know, who's my story going to be? What's my baby going to look like? What's the person that you're thinking about? And then, you know, sometimes like I look at my daughter and I forget that she was born, you know, not from me. Like, she is my mini-me. She looks like me. She acts like me. And I'm like, oh, you were born in Alabama, not in Georgia. And, like, I forget that sometimes, even though, like, surrogacy is such a part of our life. It's just, you forget, like, it's, you forget when you're not in the moment.
You forget the journey. But yeah. The journey is part of, and now, I mean, you're not going to be able to forget your journey because you are dedicating a portion of your life to helping others get down that path and have that same positive outcome that you had. So it becomes a part of you. I know surrogacy has become a part of my identity too, even though my journeys are done and I will never be a surrogate again. Like those journeys and those relationships with my intended parents are in my DNA and my core and who I am and the values that I've built and the appreciation I have for what my body was able to do and what I was able to give and how important it is to give if you have the ability to give somebody something.
Well, I think it shapes who you are as a person, no matter what side of it that you're on. It becomes a part of your story.
Yeah. I think that all the time as a surrogate and falling in love with surrogacy, that I had never even known it exists. You know, you don't wake up and say, when I grow up, I'm going to work for a surrogacy agency or infertility. You don't know those things. And being in this industry, it has impacted my family and my family's family because of the impact that we've been able to have and helping and showing how love is created and that families are created in all shapes and sizes. And what that looks like is going to look different for everybody. So it's special. What do you see? I'm curious. This has just begun for you. What are you aspiring? What are your aspirations for this organization? What do you see the future in what you're doing?
Oh my gosh. I see so much potential and growth from gift to surrogacy. Of course I want to be giving away, hundreds of grants. I want to be helping create all these families. I want us to be like, when people think of, surrogacy and they think about like the needs being met, I want people to think about gift to surrogacy. I see us, eventually being, on Capitol Hill, sitting, alongside you guys, whoever else, advocating for surrogacy. So we're just beginning.
Yeah, I love that.
Types of things are you guys working on right now to raise awareness about surrogacy and about gift of surrogacy? What types of platforms are you guys using or what are ways that people can get involved?
So right now we're primarily utilizing just social media. I have these grand visions of eventually building out a whole YouTube channel, chatbot, who knows? Right now my focus is on just more the raising the money and giving away the grants, and then everything else will follow along.
And you talk a little bit about education on surrogacy too. Are there any educational tools that Gift of Surrogacy offers for intended parents to learn more about the process? Maybe if they're not ready yet to apply for the grant or they're just starting out their embryos, do you have resources to share with them about the process of surrogacy?
Yes. So right now we try to offer, support to intended parents, no matter where they are in the journey, whether it's, just starting the idea of, thinking about it, or they're ready to talk to an agency, or, they're in this waiting game of we've been waiting on our, on the lawyers for, a few weeks now. What are we going to get to do our transfer? So no matter where you are, your GC's 8 months pregnant and you're packing your hospital bag and you're not sure what to bring, we want to be there to support you along the way. And then we also have some educational tools that we're trying to work on that we'll hopefully be sharing soon.
Great. So how do people reach you then? Just through your social media or?
Social media, Instagram is probably the best way. We're on every platform at Gift of Surrogacy Foundation.
Okay. Awesome. And I'm sure it's a lot of work to respond to all the messages and coming from intended parents with their questions and everything. Do you have a team that's helping support that? Or is it just you and your husband who are manning that? Or who's manning that process right now?
Right now, it's just me manning the social side. So if you DM me, it's going to be me responding. But I take so much joy and pride in it. So I'm happy to be doing it.
Yeah, I remember when we first started out, I was able to respond to all of the messages too for all the surrogates. And I felt that connection to everyone that came through. And now that we've grown, I don't have that connection with all the surrogates anymore. And I see names coming through and I'm like, I don't know who she is. And I miss that connection. So I would encourage you to enjoy the heck out of this early stage.
I'm trying to.
I imagine a lot of growth for you guys in the future because the work you're doing is so important and so needed. And so many of us in the industry want to help and get involved. I know I've seen a lot of people doing fundraisers for Gift of Surrogacy right now on their platforms, and I love seeing it. We're doing that right now. And anybody who wants to donate, it's really fun to donate to an organization that is going to go directly to a family who needs help and is going to be able to have this amazing journey that otherwise they wouldn't be able to afford because there aren't a lot of insurances that provide any amount of resources for surrogacy, right? Do you know if there are any health insurances that cover the cost of an agency or surrogate compensation or?
Not to my knowledge. I think we're one of the few out there that are really covering these costs.
Recently, we came across an insurance that covers the cost of the agency fee, which is great. But there's just very few and far between. I can say that I know of the one. And I'd love to be able to figure out and get a handful of these resources in a place where they're going to be able to be used by the parents so they can understand what resources are out there for them.
Yeah. I mean, I think the more that everyone can work together, because at the end of the day, we all have that same goal and vision in mind. We just want to help the intended parents at the end of the day. We just want surrogacy to be more affordable and more accessible to more people. So if we can all like collaborate and share these resources that we've learned and we're hearing about and creating like web pages and sharing, like it's helping the industry as a whole.
Yeah. And I love that there's more individuals who've been directly involved with surrogacy who are getting out there and sharing these things. There's a lot of really great platforms I follow on Instagram. I feel like Instagram's been really helpful for the surrogacy community to share and collaborate. And it's such a, you know, on Facebook, the surrogacy community is kind of dark and scary and mean.
Especially all the Facebook groups.
Oh my God. So bad.
It's all the negative.
Yeah. And once that culture is created, it's really hard to clean up. So I feel like I don't know what to do about that in the Facebook surrogacy community. I don't know that there's any saving it at this point. But the community that sprouted up around surrogacy and infertility on Instagram is not that way. It's so collaborative and supportive and encouraging and sharing all the knowledge and sharing all the tools and the hardships and the struggles and the joys and the wins and honesty and vulnerability or all those things that are, that you're seeing in the Instagram community. I think that there's so many people that want to share and that are encouraged by hearing people like you and people like us sharing our stories, and people are encouraged to share theirs, and we'll get the word out. And if there's anybody who wants to contribute to Gift of Surrogacy or support your organization, whether by being part of the soiree for next year or in any other ways throughout the year, how can we go about contributing to Gift of Surrogacy Foundation? What's the best way?
You can go into our website at www.giftofsurrogacyfoundation.org, or you can reach out to me on Instagram. We can figure out the best way to kind of get you involved.
I love that. Very exciting.
We want to be in the loop on the next soiree for sure. Yes, we'd love to be part of it. It looked like so much fun too. I love that you guys are making it like a party and a celebration and not just a stuffy, stiff gala.
Like we said, there's nothing traditional with surrogacy, and that's why we're all going to love it, and that's why we're not going to have that stuffy gala.
Yes, I love it. Well, we count us in, please. We'd love to be a part of that next year.
Amazing. Yeah, save the date, February 8th.
Okay, February 8th. That's my daughter's birthday.
February 8th, 2025.
Oh my gosh, 2025.
We're there already.
I'm not ready for that.
But yeah. Is there any final notes or anything that you would like to leave your listeners, our listeners, with just about your organization, to the intended parents, to the surrogate?
I just want to say, well, thank you guys so much for having me on today. I really, really appreciate it. Surrogacy, it's such a unique and interesting and fascinating and important journey for so many people. So just keep spreading the word. And like I said earlier, like I think that the more people talk about it, the more commonplace it's going to become. And so just keep talking about it and think about the joy that can come out of it and how many people are being affected in a good way because of it.
That's great.
I think one last thing I wanted to touch on, because it comes up a lot in the comments on our social media and stuff, is that surrogacy is just for celebrities and rich people, and it's not for regular people, or regular people don't do surrogacy. And I would love for you to share a little bit about who are the people that you read all these applications to, like who are the people that are using surrogacy?
No, the people that are going through surrogacy, people just think about the rich and the famous going through it, but that is a small percentage. The majority of the people who are going through surrogacy are people who have been trying to have their family for so long. Whether, you know, it's a same-sex couple and this is their only option, or it's someone who needs it for due to a cancer diagnosis like myself, or someone who's gone through 7 or 10 years of trying and has had, you know, unexplained infertility. Someone was born without a uterus. They've had something traumatic happen to their body. They can't carry it. They've had asteroids, like whatever. There are so many reasons that people have to go through surrogacy. And the majority are just everyday people like me and you who are going through it. And they're scraping by to save their money to create their family that they want and that they desire just so badly. And they'll do anything to make it happen.
Well, Do you have any words of encouragement for those who are just starting?
It's a journey, but stay positive. Expect for it to take longer than you possibly imagine. And that's okay, because at the end of the day, when you look back, you're going to that waiting and the unknowns, none of that's going to matter anymore. Because when you're sitting there holding your baby, that's all that matters. And so whether your journey takes 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years, you're there. You're at the finish line. You got to your end result. And that's what matters. It's you're finally there. You're happy and everything is right.
So good.
So just keep holding out and just wait and you'll get there.
Just keep moving forward.
Yes, marching forward. That's a better word.
Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us. We're so excited to support your mission and we're grateful that you guys started this organization and that you're pouring your heart and soul into growing it into all of its potential. We can't wait to see where it goes and how many people you're able to help.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.